Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up on TMS, Weird Mutant Fish Body.
Real Housewives of Utah Island.
Building a Shaq-sized straw man.
Total Seinfeld moment.
Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal.
She thumbs upped me, thinking that was enough.
Gross. Let's go get tired.
The answer is Bud Light.
3.6% of people had no antibodies, no COVID-19, and no Lieutenant Yar!
Being tall doesn't make you good at basketball.
TMS, we knew you'd be back.
Kayak payback.
Blackbird stealing fruit in the dead of night.
Henderson is a bad Pokemon.
COVID clout chasers and Concred with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I guess I can't say I've ever enjoyed packing an order, but I know how much depends on it. It's one part of the store the customer takes home with her. Beginning with the right size bag, I pack heavy to light.
Couldn't stay away, could you? Yeah, I knew you'd be back.
In a world ruled largely by logic, this is The Morning Stream.
Good morning and welcome to TMS, everybody. It is Tuesday, June 27, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson, and that is Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian Ibbett.
Heyo. Hello, Tuesday. Hello, Scott, and hello.
Man, you know how friends. Your day sometimes starts at 4 because you can't go back to sleep?
My day started at 4:50. Okay. How's that? Is that pretty close?
Yeah, that's close enough. And I usually look at that and go, wow, I'm sure glad I can sleep till 6:45, 7 o'clock or whatever, you know? Yeah, I usually take heart in that. Not today. This infected eye thing from the baby touching my eyes got a little worse. So sure. I was up at 4, like, just caring for it. And
Does
then I couldn't
burn?
Go back to sleep.
Does it itch?
Burns, itches, hurts, a little blurry, you know. It's normal stuff for it. But if it gets any worse today, I got to go talk to my doctor and he'll get me some drops. But, normally sort of thing, you just hot compress it until it goes away and then you just deal with it. But anyway, that's not even the main problem. That made it so I couldn't go back to sleep. So I just sort of stayed up and got some emails done, did some other stuff that I'm behind on. And then I knew I had to be up kind of early anyway because Kim was going to go to a rental place and pick up a rental truck. She's going to take an old couch and some stuff from Taylor's. Taylor's looking, they made an offer on a house, so they want to move and they want to get rid of some things before they start showing their place. And so the idea was, hey, we'll jointly rent this truck. We don't have a pickup truck around here, so let's get one for a day. And they were just going to take care of all that stuff while I'm down here working. I'll help them put the couch on or whatever. But anyway, that was the plan. But the goal, the deal was I had to drop Kim off at the rental before the show today so that she could get the rental and go and I could bring the car back home. So we did that. I got there and I say, go into the building, and once you've got confirmation or keys in your hand or something, come give me a thumbs up by the window that you're good, and I'll know that I can take off. Because I didn't want to leave in case there was a problem.
Right.
She comes to the window, big thumbs up. I'm like, sweet. Two thumbs up, in fact. Like
oh,
that.
Good. Good. All right.
And so I took off, and I go home. Now, her car and my phone are not tethered currently. So I don't have voiceover the speaker system. So if somebody tries to call me, it's just going to mute it and say, sorry, this person's driving. You know, it's going to do that message. I'm not going to have any idea because I don't answer my phone in the car. And so I'm driving home. I get all the way home, turn off the car, and then suddenly my phone freaks out with like 20 notifications. And I pick up the phone, and I'm like, oh my gosh, those are all Kim calls, like one after another.
Oh, no.
Okay. I call her back. Honey, what's going on? She goes, I'm so freaking pissed. And I said, what happened? She goes, I just had a total Seinfeld moment. They don't know how to hold the reservation.
Oh, no.
So the reason she yeah. thumbed up me is because she said, I'm here for the truck I reserved. And she says, oh, yes, yeah. no problem. I'll be right back with keys. And then she thumbed up me thinking that was enough. Lady come back and said, oh, the truck isn't here. You know, we do have a 4Runner. And we're like, that's not the point. You can't put a couch in the 4Runner. It's like, it's not going to work, right? So she had these other ideas. And Kim's like, she says, I almost said you don't know how to hold the reservation.
Yeah,
like, that's the point of the reservation. So this whole thing's going down, and I don't know it until I get home. So I'm like, crap, I guess. So I'm coming back to get you then? She goes, yeah, I don't know what else to do. I said, all right, I'm coming. So I get in the car. I get about halfway there. I'm looking at my phone this time. And I see it going bling, bling, bling. And so I grab it this time, hit speaker. Hello. Hey, I just thought of something. Maybe what I'll do is just get the 4Runner, and then we'll do the couch a different time, and we'll just use this for all the other little stuff that has to be done. I'm like, okay.
If you fold the seats down, won't the 4Runner work?
I don't know if it'll be high enough for this couch. All right.
Fair enough.
Anyway, we may still try.
Yeah.
Who knows? Makes
sense. Okay.
But she says, yeah, I think I'm going to get the 4Runner. So I'm halfway over there again. I said, you know what I'm going to do, Kim? I'm going to sit in this parking lot that I'm in. And it's nowhere near her yet. I'm halfway there. I said, I'm going to sit in this church parking lot until you text me or call me and say, I got the keys. I'm good. Just so we're safe here. I don't want to come all the way out there. You know, like, I don't want to do this again. So sure enough, she got it. Everything's fine now. But it was freaking annoying to deal with. If you have a reserved thing, you should have the thing you reserved, you know?
Exactly. I mean, that is the whole point. Again, this is going to sound so much like Seinfeld, but that's the whole point of a reservation. It is to reserve something. It is to prevent other people from getting it. It is to say, that thing is mine for that day, for that time.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe, just maybe, we were getting karma payback for something that happened last night. So check this part out.
Okay.
So last night, Kim and I decide, before dinner, we're like, let's go get tired by kayaking around the lake.
I'm like, kayaking. Look at you.
And I went, you know what? That sounds like fun. Let's do it. And they have a little two-man that we can use. Let's go get tired. So we were going to get either separate kayaks or the dual one. The separates were taken, so we took the dual one. So her and back, me in front. She hates being in front, so I'm always in the front.
Sure, sure.
I don't know why. She feels like you can steer it better back there. It's another driving thing. She'd rather be driving. Anyway, so we go over there, we get the kayak, everything's fine, and this lake that we live by it's an island full of like $3 million houses and then surrounded by even more expensive houses, but the lake is available to anyone who lives around here. So we go over there and we get on the lake and it's great. Beautiful last night, it was like about 7:30 and the sun was setting, but also the clouds were covering it, so we weren't getting hot. Perfect temperatures, soft breeze, ducks are out, geese are being dicks. It was great. Perfect. And so we're scooching around and we're talking about how pretty this is. And look at that weird crane. And these ducks came up to the boat and they're looking for food and I didn't have any. And
wow.
All this stuff. Very, very serene, very nice.
Instead, just bam, bam.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Now, one of the things that they rent there, not rent, but they let you use if you're on the HOA or you're in the neighborhood, is they let you use a small motorized tour boat. It's not huge, but it'll hold maybe 6-7 people or something.
Okay. Not a pontoon, like what?
No, more like, how do I describe this? It's like I don't know how to describe it. It has clear walls to it so that kids can't fall out, but they can see through it. I think that probably gets hot in the summer, but there's just like a little wheel in the back and you can ride it yourself if you can. You have to go there and do like a one-time training or something.
Yeah.
So it's not a huge deal. But you have to reserve this thing. It's not one you can just go grab.
Sure.
So speaking of reservations. So we see this guy paddling around on that thing. And we're like, oh, cool. That'd be fun to do one time. Maybe we'll get the family out here. And she said, yeah, that'd be great. Well, as we corner around this thing, we see the most. And I'm only saying this because it's just what she looked like. She looked like a walking Bravo reality show contestant. And she was, and we're very quietly paddling by. She's on the edge of this dock over there by these really expensive houses. She's clearly one of these residents.
Sure.
And she's got a purse hanging off her that looks like it's worth more than my house.
Yeah.
And she's losing it because the guy in the boat is now also there and he's slowly passing the dock and talking to her. So as we get closer, we're really curious about what's going on.
Yeah,
we get closer, sure. We hear her going, I got up at the crack of dawn to reserve this for my daughter's birthday bash, which is in 20 minutes. And now you've got it. I don't have it. I don't know why I don't have it. And he goes, oh, yeah, I totally understand. As he's scooching past, he goes, yeah, boy, I agree. He just kept going. And she's going, but so I don't know what happened or who's to blame, but this is, I've spent $1,000 on this party. It's in 10 minutes or whatever it was. And the guy was like, oh, yeah, I totally agree. That's a bummer. That's a real shame. And he just keeps going.
Yeah.
And he never really,
oh my God.
He was never going to go, oh, well, let me give you the boat. First of all, they're on the right, opposite side of the lake.
Like, there's no reason for him to apologize.
No.
It's the person who rents the boat should have had the thing on there saying, nope, it's not going to be available during this time to one of them.
Yeah, whoever's in charge screwed up.
Yeah.
And they can deal with that or whatever. But my thought was, well, first of all, she was, and all these girls for this party are standing there just looking crestfallen. They just look so sad.
The party is ruined. They're not going to get to go out on the tour boat on the lake.
These really dolled up TikTok looking rich girls.
Yeah.
And her mom was just really going to bat for him. And the guy says, yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know either. I agree with you. But he's not going to stop. It's on the opposite side of the lake. He's not going to go back around there and do anything. It's, you know, what are you going to do?
Right.
So I was watching this thinking, this is really funny. They screwed up reservations. Ha, ha, ha. And then this morning happened. So I don't know if that's karma.
Exactly. It's karma because you laughed. You laughed at Real Housewives of Utah Island.
Oh, man. It was so stupid. But anyway, it was very nice. Otherwise, nice little kayak ride.
Yeah, that's nice. Tim and I used to do that. We found that we weren't using the kayaks enough, so we got rid of them because they took up so much space in the garage. But man, that kayaking is a hell of a workout. Like more than you would think it would be.
Yeah, my arms hurt and my core hurts, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think is good. So we're gonna do it more. They just open them, like they open it early summer. Or when kids get out of school, they open it because kids run the thing. It's all teenagers working there.
Oh, sure.
Which
sure.
is probably why the guy had the boat problem. Or the lady.
Probably, exactly. I'm sure it's those teenagers that handle the rent or the reservation system.
Yeah. I kept thinking to myself, like, you're preaching to the wrong choir here. This guy doesn't care if you were up at the crack of dawn, which I doubt, first of all, because they don't even open till 10 a.m. So... that, but also I doubt she spent $1,000 on anything because it doesn't cost anything to do this.
Yeah. Well, just, no $1,000 on the birthday party.
Yeah. But I, as best I could tell, it was like, I've got this picnic ready and she had all this stuff there. Sure. And this guy was just like, well, all right, man, you know, I agree with you. I'm pissed too.
That really sucks. All right. See everybody. Bye.
It was really great. Anyway. So that was that. Okay. Today.
Yes.
Yesterday I teased it. Today I'm going to do it.
Oh, yes. The question. Oh, my God. All
the
right, so
question.
Like, I feel like I need to hold on to something just in case because this might. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a comedian that talks about this. If you even bring it, broach it, you feel like you have to brace yourself. But I don't. Yeah. This isn't. I promise this isn't anything crazy. But I want to ask our listening community. Specifically, we have trans folks in our community that I would love to hear their takes on this. Now, what I'm not looking for. Is everyone else's. I want to hear their takes, right?
Right.
I don't want to have... You're as bad as
Tally,
me trying to answer it.
Tally can respond.
Sure.
If Abby West is in the chat, I don't think she is because she's very... If Shulky. I think she goes by Shulky.
Shulky.
At least she does on Be Real.
Yeah. Abby just sent me the coolest thing. Oh, I left it upstairs. She sent me... You know the Kirby and Pants sticker I did?
Yeah.
And it's a good thing Carrie's here because she knows that. I did it based on her kid's... her kid's weird art. Anyway, she made a crochet version of that and sent it to me.
Oh, really? Oh, that's so cool.
Isn't that awesome? I didn't know she crocheted. I had no idea until she told me.
She's so great. She is getting to see her in Vegas was awesome. I was not expecting that she was going to be there.
No, that was a nice surprise. But anyway, so people like that, lots of you out there. Okay.
Yeah.
We see you in Vegas. Yep. We know who you are. Mm-hmm. I have this question for you because somebody asked it to me and they did it in a kind of antagonizing way. I think they were trying to light me up, but I'm not asking it in that way.
Oh, God.
But I didn't have an answer for them is the problem.
The problem is you're going to relay this question that was asked to you to be antagonistic.
A little bit. I mean, they were clearly trying to throw...
It would make more sense, I guess, when you...
They were trying to throw me a curve.
Uh-huh.
And I'll admit, I I didn't have a good answer for it. So that's why I'm looking for this answer. Sure. So here's your question.
The answer is Bud Light. Go ahead.
He said to me, and I'm not going to use his name because, you know, I'm not here for that. He said to me, all right, if I understand it, because he knows how I feel, everybody should be able to live their life any way they want. That's my whole vibe.
Is a Southern accent on him, or is this just for...
Just for effect. He doesn't really
sound
like
good.
That.
All right, good.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry to Kim's family and everybody else Southern. You're all
right. Okay.
Anyway, so he says... So he knowing that I feel this way, I feel very strongly that everybody on this planet, if I have the right to live the life I want to live, they all should too. Everybody should do whatever they want.
Of course. Right? Absolutely. Any person with a soul should feel that way.
Sure.
Basically.
Sure. Yeah. And if you don't believe in souls, anybody with two eyes, a mouth, and a body, just do what you're going to do.
I have two souls. I have the one in my body and I have the one in my garage.
Oh, that's right. That's right. See? Lifting every day. So he knows this about me and says this question. He says, well, let me ask you this. He says. He says. I love that he says. I don't know why I love it. He goes, if Shaquille O'Neal, at the height of his career, came out saying, I'm a woman and I'm going to transition, would that be his right? And I said, well, of course it's his right. He says, all right, well, now let me ask you this. He says, what if he wanted to keep playing, or what if he wanted to keep playing basketball? Would he go to the WNBA and then would he just dominate everything, but everybody would say that was fair? Or would he stay in the NBA and everybody just have to play with this Shaquille O'Neal woman now? He says. And I said, well, let me get some clarity here. I think what he was getting at was like the fairness in sports argument everyone's always having about this.
Sure, yes.
And he's saying if this was the way it went, and then he wanted to play, let's say he wanted to play in the WNBA, the women's league, would that be fair? And I don't have a good answer for that. I don't actually think it is fair, physically fair.
I mean...
Is it?
It's...
Because he's a huge person. He's got 7 foot something. I don't know any of the women in the WNBA. No one has that height advantage. Nobody's got. How do you counter somebody like Shaquille O'Neal in that environment? I don't know how you do it. Like, forget about all the. It's impossible to do this, but remove the culture of all this out of it and all of this stuff.
Of course,
would it be fair of somebody of his prowess
if? And I'm going to use the pronoun she, so, you know, Shaquille O'Neal, to differentiate from Shaquille O'Neal, we'll say Shaquille O'Neal. But no, if she's the only one in the league who's playing and who's transitioned from being, you know, a very dominant force in the regular NBA and moved over to the WNBA, it probably wouldn't be fair. However, I mean, it's obviously no one is transitioning just so they can have a better shot in a different league.
Right.
No one says, you know what? I'm going to go through all of the stares, the questions, the judgment from people who don't know me just so I can have a better shot in the WNBA versus the regular NBA.
Yeah. Which is actually a point I made to this dude that I did know the answer to, which is nobody does this for clout or for it's a massive personal decision that has nothing to do with any of that.
But
I still don't know if it'd be fair. Like, just take away all the emotions. Is it fair? Right.
But she would open the door, or they would open the door. Shaquille would open the door for a lot more transgendered players to say, okay, I feel more comfortable doing this now, because now I see that there is, you know, that she's opened the door for this, and that she did that Shaquille has kind of made this first step. And then you'd start to get more players and kind of would you'd get a little bit more parity. You'd kind of get a little bit more things would kind of even out, not even out, but if Shaquille isn't the only one who does this, and other people who've transitioned can see that Shaquille has done this, they'll do it as well. They'll say, oh, I feel comfortable now that I can be myself, play for the WNBA, as who I really am. And right. then things would start. You'd start to get, you know,
it would never be, but you never have more than a few, right? You'd have like maybe a handful at the most of, you yes. know, and you've got teams of, I don't know how many WNBA yes. teams are there. I have no idea. It's a lot.
I don't know either.
But it would be 16, like, 12, I don't, something. I, in other words, I don't think that, see, this is where I just struggle. I don't think it's fair that somebody as big as Shaquille O'Neal with the advantages he has even over men who try to take him on in the NBA. Mm-hmm. It just seems insane to me. Someone in the chat said he'd also take a huge pay cut, which is also yeah, right, also a exactly. bummer about the WNBA.
It's a really sad part. So Talia wants to call in. I wanted to first get our initial thoughts out because it's important as a learning thing for us, for our listeners who might feel the same way as we do, that if we do say something incorrectly based on our perspective, that we learn the same way they would learn and that sort of thing. So
sure.
Can we get Tali in to...
Yep. She's showing us offline, but I'll call. We'll okay. see what happens here.
Natalia. Let's bring in Natalia.
Natalia is currently offline. According to this, I can't get it. She's not answering. Tally, if you're out there, if you're hearing me, oh, there she is. Hi. Hello.
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 Are you there?
Okay. I didn't know it worked like this. All right.
Yeah, totally. Just can pull you hey, in. Welcome to the world of technology today. Hey, so where let's hear what you have to say. You're exactly the kind of person I wanted to weigh in on this. So what do
First
you
First of all, Brian, transgendered, it's transgender. We're not past tense.
Gotcha. Transgender. Okay.
Yeah. All right, Scott. So if Shaq started taking hormones, and let's assume Shaq start also taking spironolactone to suppress her testosterone.
Got it.
Do you think her body will go through zero changes?
Oh no, I assume it'd go through all kinds of changes, I would assume.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's suddenly gonna be 6'1" though, right? Like I mean
they're not gonna shrink, but there are tall women. I mean, you know, being tall doesn't automatically make you good at basketball.
Right.
So if you want to disqualify people for being tall or being, you know, having a body very well suited to their sport, you should disqualify Michael Phelps for having a weird mutant fish body.
Yeah, fair point. Fair okay, point.
Good,
yeah.
Good.
So, okay. All right. So then why do you think Shaq would still have... So let's assume Shaq goes through the normal transition things with a loss of muscle mass.
Well, let's assume that yeah. I guess what is there to assume that he would or she would in this case? Like, why? What would you have to do that? Or is that part of the deal? In other words, if you decide to transition, is that always part of the consideration, or can it just be like?
It typically is. So okay. I would say, I'm making this up off my own knowledge. I don't know if this is real, but I'd say over 95% of trans people do some sort of medical transition.
Yeah.
And by medical transition, I mean from taking hormones all the way to what I've done with all the surgery and shit.
Sure, sure.
So we have someone who's, if you're taking estrogen and suppressing your testosterone, you are going to lose your muscle mass.
Right.
So we assume, so let's just assume that Shaq goes all the way.
Yeah.
Not all the way. Let's just say it's taking hormones for about a year or so. And I think these are about the Olympic standards that were established in the 2000s. And they have like a certain level of testosterone that can be allowed to be in your bloodstream. And if you're below that, then you're allowed to compete. And, you know, it's kind of arbitrary. They set it wherever they want. And it's actually risen up that there are cis women who actually have naturally high testosterone. And they're disqualified because of these rules.
Right.
There was a woman, an African woman, who had naturally high testosterone and was winning a bunch of races, and there was a huge controversy over her having naturally high testosterone. So wow. Are you going to punish her okay. just for having, you know, just the wrong DNA?
Right.
Jeez.
Right, yeah, right.
It's crazy.
So, that's an aside. So, Shaq goes through, loses muscle mass, and, so let's say we see an actual, you know, deficit in performance and, you know, she decides, okay, it's time to go to the WNBA or something.
Right.
And it's been, I don't know, year, 2 years. Testosterone levels are within cis female ranges.
Right.
Okay.
And so what's the difference for you?
Well, I have no problem with it. It's this other
dude. This is thought. I'm not accusing
you. I know, but what I'm answering that, but here's what I also will say. I think this guy thinks that Shaq, if this happened, and poor Shaq, we're just pulling him into this stupid story. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, he's just happy making his own shoes and raising his kid now. But anyway, sure. Let's say he did all this. I think in this guy who was asking me the question, I think is in his head, his thinking is it's overnight. That Shaq decides on a Monday, I'm a woman and I'm going to be, and I'll see you Friday against the Pistons. Right. And then after that, I'm going to the WN. Like he thinks it's all like black and white. Day one is the decision. Yeah. Day two is let's play. And you've laid out some interesting points, which is this stuff, the word transition means it has an inherent time, right? Time, mm-hmm. time mm-hmm. is part of it. So you don't do it overnight.
And you wouldn't automatically be qualified for the WNBA overnight. Like they would probably do some blood testing and have their own rules. I mean, I don't know how it works for them, but I mean, they would have like a doctor, you know, approve the process and say, oh yes, they are, you know, meet whatever biological criteria that we've established and everything. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not like Macho Man Randy Savage can put on a dress and start wrestling with women.
Right.
It has never been like that.
Yeah.
Worked for Andy Kaufman.
Yeah. He's the only one.
He's still alive.
Well, that's why the CIA kept him alive and hit him.
Yes, right. He's still alive somewhere.
So this is kind of where I thought I was going to go. And in the moment, it was hard for me to formulate like the time factor. Yeah. Obviously, the time factor makes a huge difference. But you mentioned some of these like regulations and rules that are already in place dealing with levels of testosterone or levels of, you know, probably various other.
And like that in itself has some of its issues because it's all like, are you reducing a woman just to her lack of testosterone?
Right. It's got its own stuff.
You know, yeah. Baby steps.
But that's my question is do you think we are closer to those things being reevaluated at a core level? Like if you could take away all of the public pressure on all sides just for a second on this issue and just say, hey, is there a need to reevaluate these rules? Like in an objective point of view, do the rules need a tweak? It sounds like they probably always need tweaking. Like we always need to be looking at them, not just set them in 09 and then never touch them again sort of thing, right? Like we should probably look at them and, you know, determine whether something should be increased or decreased or, you know, something's changed in the general population or there are people who are transgender who are now in the sport. So we need to adjust our numbers to accommodate this and this and this. Do you think that is happening or we're close to that happening?
It could. I mean, with the way things are going, I'd say we're probably more likely just to drop gendered sports in general. And just like if whoever you are, just compete and no one cares. I think that should be the actual goal. Mm. But if we're actually going to concern ourselves so much with the WNBA and all these women's versions of sports, maybe we should first focus on treating them equally, giving them equal attention and paying them equally.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, transgender. Like the only time most of these bigots only care about women's sports is when they can be bigoted about trans people in women's sports. Then they'll go back to not caring about it at all in the first place.
Well, and that's the other, there's an economic factor here that is that the viewing audience for the WNBA, and this is cyclical, right? Some things affect others and that's why they're the way they are. But, you know, in a very real sense, compared to the NBA, nobody's watching the WNBA. Just in sheer numbers, they can't pay equal because they don't get viewed equal, which means their value isn't equal. And it may also be that that's determined by these outside factors of bigotry or whatever. I'm sure they contribute, but I guess what I'm saying is I've always wondered, like we had a girl on our football team in high school and it was great. We all thought it was awesome. Mm-hmm. Just seemed cool and nobody else was doing it. So it just seemed like we were cool. Why not do that? Like if you've got somebody who's just a rad quarterback, then who cares? Maybe it's a sport versus sport issue. Like, I don't know if it's like individual sports are more prone to this problem. Like if you're going to have, let's say track and field head to head race or something versus say a team sport where really it's just about the team, how the team does and what your role in the team is. So maybe we see more happen on the team end before we see it happen on the individual end, you know, to see progress in that space. What do you think about that?
I mean, well, even so, yeah, track and field and weightlifting are probably the other big ones.
Yeah.
And especially with track and field, it's like in some, like, if we just go by the logic of it, if you lose muscle mass, but your skeletal structure doesn't change, then you're working with basically a heavier skeletal structure with less muscle mass than someone would normally have to deal with at that time. Mm-hmm. So you're almost at a disadvantage. Right. I mean, like me, I'm post-op, and so I have less testosterone. I have no natural source of testosterone except for my adrenal glands now, which is less than a cis woman. So I actually have less testosterone than a cis woman would.
Oh, wow.
But I still have, you know, the male skeletal structure. So I'm dealing with my, you know, I've got to build up the muscle to support that. And if I don't have the testosterone to do that, then it's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. Like my testosterone's in the toilet. So I feel a certain solidarity to people with low testosterone.
Low T.
I got the big time low T right now.
Yeah. And it's, you know, kind of just like, at what point are we reducing people to their biology and not to their skill?
Right.
And, you know, and again, it kind of comes down to, it's like, you know, if we just go straight to weightlifting, which is, you know, all about muscle and stuff like that. Yeah. I think there are some stories of, you know, some trans women who've gone in and dominated, but I don't know what levels are, and I might, you know, I just woke up, so I'm not remembering correctly. But
I love that we got you right up with this, just immediately out of bed and ready to rock on the topic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I appreciate
it. Well, it's hot and I have no air conditioning, so I didn't sleep well, so shut up.
Well, it's all good. I'm glad you piped in, though, because I need
to
be a good one to
talk to. Yeah, and this is a lot to type. I did not want to type this out on a phone.
Oh, no, of course not.
Oh, God.
Of course not. And I'm sure we'll hear from some other trans folk in the community. They'll write in. Yeah. But I'm...
Yeah, but, yeah, it's to put, you know, just to put a cap on it all, you know, it's... Try to avoid reducing people to biology. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, also just, you know, think it through that it's not... Yeah, like you said, it is... This is more to the guy than you, that it is not as... no one goes through, you know, medical transition and, you know, losing friends and all of this just so they can have an edge in a sport.
Yeah, that's one of the things I said earlier is like, yeah, this is not something that somebody goes through just for an advantage in a different league.
It doesn't make any sense when people use that as an excuse. They say things like that and I just go, are you kidding me? Listen to what you're saying about that person. You think it was worth it for you to be so vitriolic and mean for them to change their whole lifestyle just so they could get two extra points in that game? Give me a break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, also just if they're, it's just, you know, how do you, it's just really hard to put into words what, you know, why they should have something other than just saying, oh, they have more testosterone. Oh, they have this and this. But when you think about how it actually plays out, it doesn't really confer much of an advantage, and if it does, they're trying to find that. There are scientists going through and, you know, looking at, you know, if there are advantages or not disadvantages for trans people in you know, their identify in the gendered sport they identify with. They haven't really found much, and I mean, and if you look at a lot of, you know, past things like Fallon Fox in the MMA, she's a trans woman in MMA who's mediocre. She's not great, she's not bad, she's just there.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are other, you know, it just, like, even when those situations do happen that they're, most of these people are probably complaining about and couldn't name the person, they're just like one of the other girls.
Right.
That's it. And then also ask yourself going the other direction too, about how about right. the female person who was not allowed to wrestle with all the men, so he was forced to wrestle against all the women and completely destroyed them.
Right.
Because this is the equality that you're not thinking about. And when that guy asks you about that chat question, ask him if he can name a single WNBA team in the first place.
No, he can't.
Yeah,
he can't.
Let alone a player, name one team. I think
I'd already can tell you, 100% can tell you that guy.
The only one I think I could name.
That guy cannot name, there's no way he can name it. I know this just knowing him enough. And also, I mean, he didn't just build a straw man in this argument. He built a Shaq-sized straw man, and I'm a little annoyed by it. Because, wow, way to take way to take an example that is not actually an example. It's not even it's not even real. Like, you made it up. But it is a what if. Okay, well, all right. Well, if we're going to play in what ifs, then let's get really down and dirty. He didn't want to do that. He just wanted black and white answers. And
yeah,
he thinks he kind of won that argument. And I just kind of walked away going, well, I don't know. I'll ask people. I don't know. I don't know about this stuff. So I'm glad we did. And I'm glad you got up. Thanks for getting out of bed. And we miss you around the chat. So hope you're doing good.
Yeah, work.
Yeah.
Work, 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 work. All right, we'll talk to you later, Tally.
Yeah.
See you, Tally.
So there you have it. There you have it. Answers from at least one of our trans community. If anyone else wants to pipe in, please email us or text us or whatever, and we'd be happy to hear it.
I say this a lot, and I say this in person to all of them when I see them in person in Vegas and stuff like that. But I'm so glad that they're part of our community, and B, I'm so glad that they are understanding and willing to help and help educate a doofus like me when I ask, you know, questions that things I don't understand instead of
we don't know
shrugging
shit.
Me off.
Yeah, we don't know nothing, you know. We are baseline allies for people, and for I don't care who you are or whatever. You all deserve to live your lives the way you want to live them.
Love who you want to love, be who you want to be. Inside.
Do who you want to be. Yes, 100% across the board, you always get that from us. But when we get into the weeds, sometimes we don't have the right answers. We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, thank you for the clarification and the additional insight. All right, Brian.
And I can now name a second WNBA team, the Los Angeles Sparks.
Oh, the Sparks.
And the Chicago Sky.
See, I don't know any of these.
It was only because I looked it up, but I'm gonna memorize them. So
I know the new NBA 2K game has, or 2K's NBA game has the WNBA
in
there
as well as an option.
I think the first time, or maybe brought it back. I don't remember, but yeah, people don't forefront it. So, you know, Claire made the point in the chat, like, well, they don't really. You know, push sports for girls when they're young the way they do for boys. And so, of course, we're a culture that values adult male sports over adult female sports for the most part, mm-hmm. at least, you know, the major sports, because we don't value it when they're younger. And that's true too, but it's this vicious cycle. I don't know how you get out of it.
Yeah.
I'm not here to fix that. That's all going to have to be another generation. Yes. And me.
Will you see how soon will you see this person again that you can,
probably
not antagonistically, but just kind of say, so yeah, here's a couple questions.
Probably Friday, and I'm gonna make him an MP3 of the whole conversation. You can just hear it.
Oh, great. Yeah. Oh, terrific.
I'll just let him hear it. Yeah. I mean, he knows he and I don't see eye to eye on stuff.
Yeah.
He's mostly he's the kind of person who's like, don't tread on me unless it's something I don't like, and then I'll tread on that person kind of mentality. And I just hate that. I find it hypocritical and terrible. And he's listening to this right now, and dude, you know I like you. You're a cool dude.
Yeah.
We have a lot in common.
Deep down, I like you as a person. I don't see eye to eye with you, and I don't think that you're hateful. You just have this, you know, you just haven't seen the other perspective, seen the other side.
Yeah.
To know.
And I don't think if he was face to face with, you know, Tally or Abby or anyone else, he would not be antagonistic. He would be, you know, he talks a lot of talk until he meets real people, and then he's like, oh, well, I guess they're people too, you know.
I spend so much of my time when I'm in the lift, when I'm driving for Lyft, I spend so much of my time just biting my tongue, kind of like, okay, yep, we only have 3 more minutes until I drop you off, and I'll never have to see you again, and I don't have to enter into a big discussion of why your opinion is wrong.
I'll bet you see it. It's like that Spree movie, that one guy.
Yes, like, exactly. I don't have any bottles of water with whatever thing he had in the water to knock him out. Never would have.
Oh, that movie sucked so bad. I freaking hated that movie.
It didn't suck, Scott, because it made you think about stuff. Like,
oh no,
you know,
I still think about
acted,
it.
But
you're right. I still think about it. If the goal was to make me think about it, I still do.
Yeah.
Which, so in that case,
definitely was the goal in that case.
In that case, success. But I really hated you.
Poorly,
movie.
Poorly. Man, I don't even know. That movie set out to do something, and I think it accomplished that. Was it entertaining? Less so. But was it? Did it did it give a perspective of something that should, it could easily happen? Yes.
Yeah. And in other hands, could have been better executed. 100%.
Yeah.
Totally agree. All right.
Yeah. So anyway,
let's do a news story. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by
Eating next to the owner of 571 Burgers and Whiskey and hearing him fart.
Oh yeah, speaking of your little fart story pre-show.
Yeah.
If you're not a patron, you missed out, by the way. Brian had a great story.
Yeah, you gotta sign up so you can hear that. You can still do it. Sign up today and you can hear that story.
We were told that we were sitting next to the franchise. Kim and I went to lunch there yesterday, and we were sitting by the franchise owner, the guy that owns this location, and he was this very tan, very buff, very tattooed up looking rich dude, with a brand new Corvette out front, red Corvette, the new model, beautiful car, and a lovely woman with him. I don't know what relation they were. But I watched him order his food, girl walked away, and then I watched him lift a cheek and do a little hurt.
So he, it wasn't even like an accidental, like, oh, geez, excuse me, sorry. No, it was like a, well, nobody paying attention.
Yeah. He opened the door and let the horse out of the barn. Absolutely. All right. Check this out. The pick your own event is off now, as all the fruit was eaten by birds. Oh, this is a bummer. This is in Cornwall, man. So you English people know what's going on. There is a pick your own cherries event every year, the National Trust property in Cornwall. This year it got canceled. Blackbirds ate all the fruit.
they did not leave plums. They just took plums.
They took all the plums. Finally, the limerick, or not the limerick, the riddle makes sense.
Yes.
Was due to be held tomorrow, June 28th, and the event was to span over 5 days. At Cotelier, how do you say that?
Oh, let me see here.
Cotelier.
Boy, see, the problem is that's probably Welsh, my guess is, and it's probably pronounced flurg.
You know? I know they get those. Their words are weird.
Yeah,
COT. Their words are
weird. They spell things completely differently than they're pronounced. Somebody Cotehele.
Yeah.
If anyone says gimme. Give me, okay, Claire, here you go.
Yeah, try it, Claire.
What is it? C-O-T-E.
Sitting over there in Northern Ireland acting like she knows how everything's spelled in all the other places. Claire, GAC. All right.
Yeah. Why Welsh isn't Cornwall in, am I?
I thought Cornwall was in Wales.
Yeah, no?
No? See, I don't know things.
Oh, Cornwall's in Ireland? No, really?
No.
Oh, geez. Really?
Is it really? Well, then this explains that word.
I've grown up always thinking Cornwall was in... Wait a minute. Come on now.
It's named after a British general or something. Cornwall Wallace. Yeah. No, yes, it's not it. Exactly. What is it? Hold on.
Cornwall's in England, but not Welsh, it looks like. But Cornwall's in
just England. Just England. Okay.
Yeah.
Or as I typed into search, Ingling.
Anyway. South England. Okay. Oh, come on. Come on, Claire. Back off. All right, go ahead, please.
Laura Jamin from the National Trust said 80 trees have been cleared of cherries, and they're feasting on them by these cheeky blackbirds, she says. She says cherry orchards have been blossoming since 2004, but in the past few years, there have been larger amounts of cherries. We've been very excitedly planning our pick-your-own cherries at the... On Monday, we were getting, I don't know how to say it, getting the planning in place, checking the cherries were ripening, and Wednesday morning, the gardener came in to tell us, they're all gone! They're gone!
So the pick-your-own cherries event has turned into a shoot-your-own blackbird event.
Yeah, yeah. We're switching gears.
Bow and arrow.
Yep. We're pivoting this year. Bring your dogs. We're ready to rock. She did say this, 80 trees worth of cherries have been feasted on by these cheeky birds. She added... They're so cute, we don't mind too much, she says. Oh.
All right, well, okay. So people are like, Cornwall has its own language. Yeah, Cornish. I do know Cornish as language. I swear to God, I thought Cornwall was in Wales. And a part of Wales could have a different language, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
They have dialects.
More language.
Yeah, more language. They got dialects all over the place over there.
They have pasties, and they have their own language, and I thought they were a part of Wales.
Well, there you have it. Final quick story. This is for you, Brian. I thought of you.
By the way, Chris says it's pronounced Koshiel.
Good Lord. That's effed up. This is for you.
Okay. All right.
Squirtle Lane is a real place in Las Vegas. There is a property company who is now naming all of their new streets after Pokemon characters. So two things you love. You love Vegas and you love the Pokemon.
I love Vegas. I don't love Henderson, though.
Oh, yeah. Henderson.
That's a problem.
Henderson's a bad Pokemon. Just kidding.
And it evolves into a Purum. yeah, no. Henderson is also where that Simpsons house was that somebody won with a Frito-Lay contest.
Oh, yeah.
And they put this house right in the middle of a community without thinking about the fact that, yeah, people are going to be constantly driving down that street to see the Simpsons house. So, of course, the people who won it painted it to not look like the Simpsons house, even though it basically looks like the Simpsons house painted to look like all the houses around it.
Yeah, that's a bummer. If I'd have gotten it, I'd have been stoked and then realized it's like the place you drove past for the pizza on the roof.
In Albuquerque. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You'd either embrace it, dress up as Homer Simpson, sit there with your garage opening, waving to everybody who drives by, or you'd say, oh, we have to move. Yep. You basically paint it to look like every other house.
Well, this lady, Andrea Miller, she is the project construction manager of this new housing development. She's naming them all Pokemon because she loves them and her kids love them. And she's like, I don't care. It's going to be Jigglypuff and freaking Squirtle Lane and all this business. So I don't want to live on Jigglypuff Street. I just don't.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Snorlax Avenue.
Snorlax. Oh, my gosh. Snorlax Circle would be kind of fun. Right?
Snorlax Circle. There you go.
That wouldn't be too bad. Someone in the chat, every once in a while, someone in the chat says, Scott, quit scratching your eye. It's gross. I can't help it. It itches so bad right now. I'm itching under it.
But you make contact with the tear ducts, liquid that keeps, you got mucous membranes there. That'll, if you get a little tear, you touching it, you're going to get that on your finger. Then you're going to touch your other eye, and you're going to have two pink eyes, Scott.
Let me ask you this. So, yeah. Tolbert, if you're listening, this is for you, buddy. I was told conjunctivitis is extremely contagious, right? Yes. Really easy to get. If that's so, why, whenever I've had it in my entire life, it's only ever one eye? It seems like if it's that contagious and it's the same face and they're inches, not even inches, inch apart.
You would think you'd need a finger to spread it from one eye to the other because they're connected by an entire face full of tissue inside.
Yeah. And even then, how have I not transferred it? How did I use the same pillow last night that I did the night before and not get some eye goo in the other eye? Why? Is it because my immune system, like, protect the other eye at all costs? Just get up, men. It's time for... Like, I don't know. I don't know what my immune system does on its free time. Anyway, there you go. Those are your stories. Let's move on and take a break. When we come back, we'll be making some stuff with Bill. After that, some science with Bobby. All that coming up after this song Brian brought.
Dang it, I didn't have this ready. All right, so the singer, the performer that I'm going to be playing. Oh, this is cool. So this is a woman in L.A. Who goes by the name Goblin. She and it kind of, let's see here. She, where is it? I did it. An indie musician, touring bassist for Claude Goblin, she goes by they, them.
Claude Goblin?
She's the bassist for a band called Claude.
Oh.
Her name is Goblin, and it's spelled Goblynne. Like if her name was Lynn, she just added Gob to the beginning, so she's Goblin.
Love that.
This is her brand new album, which is called Hot! Frowny Face, which is an art pop record about the delicious, insane horrors of trying to be a girl. I love this. So this just came out last week. And there's a very, there's kind of a wet leg property. I don't know if you're familiar with wet leg and their song about chaise longue.
Oh,
all day long on the chaise longue.
My wife loves that song and I like it,
too.
But I don't like I don't like the word chaise longue.
Chaise longue. Because it looks like it. Because if you glance, you think it should be chaise lounge.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter how.
G is in the wrong place.
Yeah. No matter how anyone says it, even somebody who's actually French, it just, it's like doily or gymnasium or. I hate that word so much. But that song's awesome. They're great. Love those guys.
pardon me. That's right, butter. Can you come and butter my muffin? Anyway, I love Wet Leg and I love this song. All right. Anyway, that's who this reminds me of. The singer is Goblin. The new single is Where This Goes. It's from her brand new album, Hot! Exclamation point frowny face. And I'm dead serious about the exclamation point frowny face. Check it out. Here's the song, Where This Goes.
Not sure what to call this. All I know is I could throw myself into the deepest part of it. And just like that, I'm all in. Could listen to you talk about dumb shit you bought on Craigslist till I wither and die. My cheeks hurt from smiling. We sit down in the parking lot under the neon cross and the pipes that look like swastikas. You really only take me to the ugliest places, but that just makes it obvious how beautiful your face is.
Customer has her last important contact with the store. To a large extent, a checker's actions determine whether a shopper will be back.
And we're back. Tell me who that was one more time.
Sure. That was Goblin, G-O-B-L-Y-N-N-E, and the brand new single, Where This Goes, from her new album, Hot! Exclamation point frowny face.
I just remembered that Bill is driving today. He's not here.
Oh, right.
So I'm going to add Bobby Bill. Early. Bobby, are you ready for my early adding? Because you're online.
If it makes you feel better, Bobby, we can call you Bill for the first 2 minutes you're on the call.
Yeah, I always try to anyway, you know, or even do it by accident. Why not continue the tradition? Exactly. Yeah, I actually knew this and then forgot. So what good does it do me to ping these people the night before? I don't know. Anyway, we'll try to call Bobby. He might be taking a poop.
Science.
Science
poop.
who knows? But hopefully he is ringing in. Oh, there he is. All right. He's a real sport. Let's play this now.
Science.
Bob is hungry and the soup looks good.
Hey, look, it's Bobby Frankenberger, who didn't think he was going to be on for another 20 minutes or so. But now he's here. And boy, what a thrill it is for me.
Yeah. Welcome. You caught me the one day you decide to call a little bit early is the one day that I can't listen live because we're recording our science podcast.
Oh, but, right. Like right now you're right recording. Now?
Don't worry. Don't worry. Cause right now you're feeling guilty.
Yeah, I am.
Don't worry. We had planned already to take a break in the middle of recording so that I could do TMS.
Oh, he just shifted
a little bit early.
Yeah.
So now we're just taking a little bit early. I was like, oh, looks like they're calling me early. Well, let's take our break now.
The good news is, you know, the show prior to this, you didn't miss anything. Nothing controversial. No exciting deep talk or anything like that. So
yeah,
you had nothing to worry about.
Yeah. You didn't no reason. I guess I'm going to have to go back and listen.
You might want to. You might enjoy it. I don't think it was all that controversial. I think it was educational. I think we helped people understand some things. I hope. But I have no idea what you've got planned. You got the science dripping off you like you always do, but now you're even hot from a break from your science podcast. You must really be ready to land something here. So what'd you bring there, Bobby?
I brought some COVID news.
Uh-oh.
It's not bad.
I heard COVID was over, Bobby.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's another question entirely. Do you remember we talked about, did we talk about it on this show where the World Health Organization said that it's basically
endemic
now? Mm-hmm. Did we talk about that here?
Yeah, we did.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, fortunately, that's not what I'm talking about. So
that's why when I went to the doctor yesterday, I did not have to put on a mask when I was waiting in the waiting room. It was optional if I had any symptoms for the first time.
That was new at ours, too. They said I even asked her about it. And she says, yeah, I just got to the point where we were having arguments with everybody about it. Ugh. Like everybody that came in was having a problem with it. And we were like, all right, well, even though this is a place where people come in that are sick all the time, we kind of thought it would stick. But we're just going to let them, basically they have a sign that says, if you have a cold or any kind of anything and you're coming in here, please wear a mask. And that's as good as they can do.
Yeah. So.
Right. Yeah. Do you find that where you guys are that people are still masking the way that they were?
Oh, like, no. Not even close.
I guess I'm asking the question in the wrong way because no, people aren't masking the way that they were. That's the way they were.
No, but when I'm in the airport or on a plane, I do see that's probably where I see the highest concentration of people still wearing masks, and that's probably a smart place to to still wear your mask. Especially, I mean, if you're feeling sick, wherever you go, grocery store, bank, I don't care.
Yeah.
If you're feeling sick and you leave the house, wear a freaking mask. That's bottom line. I think that's the one thing that we should take from this that should apply to any symptoms, COVID or not. If you're feeling sick and you leave the house, wear a mask is a common courtesy for everybody else.
Asian countries.
That's what I was wondering about is do you find that people are generally more tolerant of, like, people are still seem to be willing to wear masks and people aren't weirded out as much.
I got a story for you. You want to hear a good one? So we went to, I told on the show, we went to Van's soccer game and, Dylan's dad is a little on the "we wear a mask for" kind of side of things, right?
Yeah.
So we get there, and I really like him. By the way, he's awesome. He's a great guy, but he's got some of these, you know, he's got some hangups. And we get there, and Carter's wearing a mask. She had that con crud from London on her way back. She got really sick. She was sick for like 4 days. It was awful. It was never COVID, but she was pretty sick. She really wanted to see her nephew play. This was the last game, so she shows up in a mask, and he goes, what are you wearing a mask for? You fear you're going to get COVID? And she goes, no, I just had this flu bug con crud thing I got in London. I didn't want to get anyone else sick. And he goes, oh, well, actually, I appreciate that. Thanks. I appreciate it. So he did a complete turnaround.
Right.
Because, you know, she had this reason. And so when you take people's politics out of it, suddenly it becomes, oh, well, thanks for protecting me. Anyway.
Right. Exactly.
Other than that, yeah. though, I haven't run into any like major problems.
Haven't seen any Costco people having a fit because somebody else is wearing a mask and they're not. And yeah.
I just think that hopefully that's something that sticks around, is that people are at least more comfortable with the idea of masks.
Yeah.
So,
I want to be like Asia. I want to be like Japan. I just want, you know, they've been doing this forever.
It's just a thing. It's just another thing that people do. I hope it stays
that way. What I don't mind, if somebody's like, I can't wear a mask, it kills me. Even if I get sick, it's fine. I don't care if you say that to yourself. Say that to yourself. Mm. Quit giving anyone shit for wearing one. That's my only problem with it. Yeah. I would like it if you all would be more careful around each other. That'd be great. But if you're not going to be, freaking keep it to yourself. Don't go up to strangers. Like there's a TikTok pranker guy. His whole gig, his whole shtick, is to walk up to people in Walmarts or anywhere he finds anyone in a mask and accost them and start shooting questions at them about why they're doing it. What are they afraid of? Are they afraid of, have you been vaccinated? Like all this stuff, just like bombarding them. And these poor people, like this one woman's like, I have like a really serious autoimmune disease. And my doctor told me to wear this everywhere I go. No, it doesn't matter whether there's anyone sick or not. Like, I just want to jump through the screen and kick this kid's ass so hard. I just want to beat him to a pulp because that's my problem. It isn't that you might have some misgivings or you feel weird. My problem is you going after other people. So F right off with that business. All right. Here's my two birds.
Double bird. Yeah.
I want to start a TikTok where what I do is I go up to those people and make it so that they don't have the internet anymore and watch them freak out.
Yeah. Right,
I think that's really the only thing driving all of this is the clicks.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
Clout chasers, man. Clout chasing's a real disease.
Yeah.
What I heard the other day is the new phrase I like is when people get called fatally online. Have you heard that before?
Oh yeah.
I haven't heard that. That's funny.
I like that one. People will be like, oh, I'm so fatally online. I totally believe this thing, or I did this thing, and I don't know. It's a great term. We'll see if I'm sick of it in a week, but I like it right now. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
but I got some COVID news.
Oh, good. Let's hear it.
Oh, yeah, that's where this started. Yes.
Yeah. So the CDC worked with the American Red Cross recently and tested a bunch of blood donations. Because they wanted to test for antibodies in the general population just to see where things were. It can be a good idea to test for antibodies just to see where things are, not just with COVID, but with different diseases altogether. But they were looking at COVID in this. They wanted to see how many people have COVID-19 antibodies in their blood. And this was around the fall of last year, so fall 2022. And they found that, get ready, 96.4% of Americans had COVID-19 antibodies in their blood by the fall of 2022.
Now, what's the sample?
96? Wow.
What's Holy the God. Sample size of that blood, though? You know, not everyone gives blood, so how do they jump to that?
I actually didn't look into exactly how many, but it was fairly large because they have access to all blood donations and any other way that the American Red Cross was getting blood from people. Mm-hmm. They test it for a lot of different things already. So they were just working, CDC was just working with the American Red Cross and had them just run these tests, right? And they found that there are kind of three categories, four if you count another one, but the categories of people that they found were people who had antibodies from just vaccines, like vaccine-induced antibodies only. There were people who had antibodies from infection, like that's how they got their antibodies. And then there was the hybrid group of people who had antibodies from both infection and from vaccination. And then of course the 3.6% of people who had no antibodies at all, so no exposure to COVID-19 yet.
That's a small group.
Yeah, very small, 3.6% of people. So 26.1% of people had their antibodies from only vaccines. Like, that's how they got their antibodies. They haven't had infection. They're vaccine induced antibodies only.
Right.
And then 22.6% of people from just infection. And then the large majority, almost half of all the people, 47.7% of people had some combination of antibodies from getting vaccines and from having a COVID infection.
Can any of that happen through transfusion, like from other people's blood? Can I show antibodies if I had gotten an accident and they rushed me to the hospital, give me a bunch of O2 negative, and then bam, I've got some antibodies because that guy who gave his blood did?
That's a really good question. They didn't talk about that, but I would guess that that's probably, yeah. I mean, that's all you need is, so antibodies are different than antigens. Also, antibodies are what your body is producing.
Right.
You can have antibodies, but I don't know if those stick around or if the antibodies themselves can act as an antigen that would cause you to produce more antibodies. Mm. That's something I don't know. Mm. But they're pretty confident that they can divide out these groups, and it's interesting how they figured it out, because what it is that when your body naturally makes antibodies, it's this type of antibody called an anti-N antibody, because it's the antibodies that your body produces from a natural infection are targeting a different protein than what the vaccines are targeting. The vaccines target, we all have heard of the spike proteins at this point.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which are those finger-like spike protrusions from the outside of the virus.
Right.
The vaccines produce those. They're called S proteins, just short for spike. So what they do is they create a vaccine that has those spike proteins in it or something similar that causes your body to produce anti-S antibodies, which target the spike proteins. So they're very specific to the vaccines. This is not how your body naturally does it.
Mm.
So we can look to see if you have anti-S antibodies that are targeting these spike proteins, that means you got the vaccine, that you got a vaccine. And so the next question is, do you have the anti-N antibodies, which are the naturally occurring ones? If you do, then that means you were exposed to an infection, and then you can just look at the overlap by looking at vaccine databases and everything to figure out who falls into the vaccine only, infection only, or the hybrid group.
Is it still true that the antibodies are only supposed to last like 3 months or 2 months in your system or something? Is that changed?
Well, that's one of the questions that people have, is that is this number, how accurately does this number represent the population? And they're pretty confident that it's actually, this 96.4% is actually an underestimate of how many people have antibodies in the population. And the reason that they think it's an underestimate is exactly what you were talking about, Scott, is antibodies fade over time. We know that that's true.
Yeah.
So if you've gotten the vaccine and then, or you were exposed, but you've not been exposed in a long time, then you might have a really low antibody rate that might not be picked up by a test. Also, the tests could be faulty, or it just is a false negative or something like that. So, and that always happens. So it's always going to be, you know, that their guess is that this 96.4% is actually an underreporting, and that probably it's even closer to 100% of people in the population.
So if they tested me and Brian, what were you, October last year? You had your...
September. September. It was right after Labor Day.
Okay. Mine was November. If they tested Brian and I's blood, would we show anything at this stage?
Probably. Yeah. I don't know that for sure. I don't know the exact numbers, but I do know that when they were talking about what the schedule of boosters and vaccinations and everything is going to be, that they're moving towards a yearly one. So I'd imagine that that's based on the fact that it probably lasts, you know, long enough that doing it once a year is okay. Right. Also, we know that having the vaccine and being infected with COVID gives you even better immunity. So you probably, if you had COVID exposure, and you had the vaccine, then you probably have antibodies even more sticking around even longer.
That'd be good. Yeah.
So
what are the,
that's all speculation though. I don't know those numbers for sure.
Do we know what the current infection rates are? Like, you know, no one talks about these anymore because it's not, you know, the breaking horrible news it used to be, but is it still like, I mean, I assume
it's still out there and it's still killing people. For sure. It's, so when the World Health Organization decided to sort of downgrade it from being an emergency, that decision was based on not on infection rate. Mm. That decision, I think in part it was based on infection rate, but definitely a large part of that decision was based on how most countries know how to treat and deal with it now. And so that's a lot of why it was an emergency before, is because it was brand new and people were dying at such high numbers because we didn't know how to treat it. You know, it was just send people to hospitals, put them on a respirator and hope that they make it through. I mean, I'm simplifying it a lot and I don't want to downplay the amount of effort and work that healthcare professionals put into helping people. But we didn't know a lot about, but now we do. We know how to treat it. We know it works. We know the types of medications to give. We know the types of general medical treatments to help keep people alive. And so we're equipped now to deal with. We have the infrastructure in place to say, okay, looks like infection rates are going up. What are the types of things that we need to do to make sure that it doesn't, you know, like we know how to do this on a population level as well, all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And so
right.
That's why it got downgraded, but it's certainly still out there. Even though the director of the World Health Organization, he even made the point that yes, this isn't, it's being downgraded from an emergency, but people are still, lots of people are still dying every day. So we can't stop worrying about this. We can't stop thinking this is a problem. It's not an emergency
anymore. I suspect when fall and winter rolls around, we'll hear about
the that's usual uptick, for,
right? like flu and everything else we get every year. And I assume it's also probably the you know, it's the high risk groups that are still at most risk. Like, you know, your people in their 80s.
It's that way with everything. I mean, it's that way with the flu as well. You know, young infants who can't get the flu shot and the elderly who are just at higher risk in general.
Sure.
Those are the ones you worry about the most.
So. Sure. That makes sense. Take care of grandma, everybody.
You got to do the things you got to do to keep everybody safe. Like when you have pink eye, you should stop touching your face.
I know, right? what is with these people to keep touching their eye when they've got pink eye?
I know, exactly. Some people have been saying, like, get an ice pack really quick and just have it over, you know, over your eye to quell the itching at least.
Oh,
and
ice.
No other reason.
I think ice would be bad.
Have you talked to the doctor? Have you gotten any eye drops or anything?
No, she says if it's not better by tonight or this afternoon, I got to call her again. And if it's not, we're going to get some.
That's weird.
Because they usually, it's like last time I had this was, I don't know, when Van was a baby. Same thing happened.
Yeah.
Same eye,
you just
in
love
fact.
Putting babies in your eye.
Yeah. I mean, I get real cuddly with him, but he, when that happened to me, it took me, I don't know, it was maybe 15 hours and it went away, or it started to go away enough to where I didn't worry about it. And this time I was hoping for the same, but we're already creeping up on that number. So I probably got to just get some. They've got antibiotic eye drops that'll probably kill it in half an afternoon or something. So I probably should just do it.
That's why I thought it. That's why I think it's weird that they said to just wait, because they can. Stephanie had pink eye not too long ago, and she didn't even have to go in. She just called. She did like a teledoc thing, and they just looked at it on the camera, and they were like, "Yep," and they called it in. And the antibiotic, the eye drops are so cheap.
Yeah, they don't cost much. They're cheap to do. It's not a big deal. I think she just doesn't. She's kind of weird in that sometimes she seems like she wants to not just throw medication at everything, and then there are other times where she wants to throw medication at everything.
Yeah, but pink eye is so contagious.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I'm giving it to you right now, just looking at you.
I know. I'm going to go face in some acid when I'm
done. I've got a filter on my Discord to keep me from getting it.
Yeah. So anyway, it's mostly like right now it doesn't hurt in the mornings and at night. It reminds me of a cold. It's worse in the morning and at night always. And I woke up this morning. It was like a big crusty nightmare and, you know, like 4 o'clock.
Like a warm washcloth over it.
Yeah. And if you hold it there long enough, it kind of eases it. And they say that's the best because it promotes blood flow because the warmth, the heat will get your, the blood in your eye moving around, which is always good for just healing anything. And they said, don't put ice on it. I said, really? She goes, yeah, no ice. Ice will just slow that all down and the healing takes longer. Don't do it. And I said,
oh, really?
Okay. Huh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And your eye already has limited blood flow to begin with, so you don't want to slow that down.
Constrict those blood vessels any further.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay. Kind of makes sense.
Don't heal my eyeball. Well, anyway, it's always good to talk to you. What is the topic you guys are discussing on the show that's currently paused that you'll go back to when we hang up on you?
Oh, we're talking right now. I was in the middle of talking about glass and how glass is made. So that'll come out next week.
That's cool. Do you get into how, like in the old West, the glass was always kind of warbly and how we figured that out? Because that was a cool innovation when it wasn't warbly anymore. Do you know what I'm talking about?
We're not talking about that. I should have you on the show. You should be.
Oh, I don't know shit. I just
like
know.
A Western glass.
No, all I know is like if I see 310 to Yuma or any modern Western, the glass is always like if you watch Deadwood, the glass is always like this weird warped. Yeah. It's like clearly they didn't have the process down back then.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've learned a lot about things that you can put into glass to change the temperature that it can be worked at, which allows, like, if you can get it liquidy at lower temperatures, then it makes it easier to get bubbles out and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's probably a lot of those advances have been made.
Yeah.
Glass has been around for a really, really long time, though, thousands and thousands of years.
Well, good luck with the rest of your show. It sounds like it'll be fascinating. That's All Around Science, wherever you get your podcasts, everybody. Bobby,
that's
thanks
right.
for hanging
All
with
Around
us.
Science.
We'll see you next time. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
See you, Bobby.
Okay, let's see what happens if I put this back. Oh, I know what I did. I know what I did. I did one thing sooner than the other thing. I'm supposed to remove him, or I'm supposed to set him back into the player and not separate it for video and then hang up on him. But instead, I hung up on him and then added it back to the player, which reset our call. Lame.
Shame. Just shame.
It's a real shame, but I've done... here. All right. That is going to do it for today's show. Although I do have an email I'd like to end things with. We haven't really talked about this freaking submarine that had its
thing. Oh, yeah. We really haven't. Yeah.
The whole world was talking about it, but TMS ignored it, kind of. We didn't talk about it. I didn't feel like there was much to say because it, I don't know, it's just a hideous thing all around. And like, what else can we add to the conversation? Yeah. But we got this email about large oceans and bodies of water. Which kind of related to a conversation we had a little while ago about what scares, you know, like, can you be in the middle of the ocean? Does that freak anyone out and that sort of thing? Mm-hmm. Good morning, Superior and B, Ontario.
Couldn't find another great lake that began with a B. Makes sense. All right.
Wish there was a Lake Bontario. Yeah, sure. I'd go there. Scott says he doesn't like large bodies of water that seem endless. I really don't. I hate that. If you're on a boat in the middle of any of the Great Lakes, it feels like a freshwater ocean. Does this problem with open oceans play into why Scott likes Waterworld so much? Also, with the lack of ocean, why he loves Fury Road so much? Love the show, though, Abby, with an I from Michigan. P.S. I don't like openness. I don't know, what does that say?
Open. No, I don't like open oceans. It's a stretch. It's a real stretch, but we'll take it.
We'll allow it, yeah. Okay, so the answer to your question, I think, is yes. I think part of what draws me to these wastelands, whether it's water wasteland or desolate wastelands, is this idea of how, I don't know, how utterly scary that is. Mm-hmm. And I get to experience it on a big screen with cool sound. You know what I mean? I don't have to be there.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I do like stuff like
when you went on your cruise and land was not visible for part of that time.
Yeah.
Or was land always visible because you were kind of going
there were times where you couldn't see anything. And also in the morning the fog would be so thick, even if there was land you couldn't see it. I don't like that. So I would be up on deck with Kim looking at it. Doesn't bother her at all. But I would see
it. Kind of freaking out a little bit.
A little piece of me would go, where are we? I don't even like this. This is bad. And then I think I was just prepared to like tell myself, don't worry about it. So I got pretty good at ignoring it. I had the opposite problem. I'm freaked out by the idea of where we are. She gets motion sick from the motion, just straight up, you know, like an actual cause and effect. She has a reason to feel sick. I have no reason other than it just kind of freaks me out. And so if you start catastrophizing, going, well, what if this boat broke down right here? What would we do?
Yeah.
Right. And then you start thinking about Titanics and all that other crap.
That's why you have lifeboats, and now they have enough lifeboats for all the people who are on the boat.
That's right.
Now they do.
They didn't skimp on it this time, turns out. Anyway.
We can thank actress Kathy Bates for always having enough lifeboats now.
Now, the one thing that doesn't freak me out, maybe it's because it's so far removed, but endless space doesn't freak me out. Like in space, not at all.
Oh, really? So just water. Interesting.
Water and land. Maybe land where I'd have no water and no access to food, and it's just a giant desert. Maybe that's a little bad, but huge bodies of water, even though those have limits, that freaks me out more than if I was in space, which virtually has zero limits. Sure. And I don't know why. Like George Clooney floating out there. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's all that big a deal. I mean, I don't want to go for days and starve to death and run out of oxygen. Yeah. That sounds awful.
Exactly.
Right? Yes. But it doesn't inherently freak me out to be out there. Maybe it's because, A, I've never been there.
Yeah.
And B,
there's no frame of context since you've never been to space. You've been around water. You've been on water, and you can experience that and what that feels like just to not see land. But you've never been out in space to be able to say, well, my frame of reference is when I was in space going, oh, Jesus, I couldn't see any.
And maybe part of it is that in water, I know that there are bordering lands somewhere. It may be too far practically to get to. And that's what would freak me out, is that I'm out here, I know there's land, I'm going to die anyway. In space, it would be like, I don't know where the edge of anything is. It's just out here. We're just forever, and it's no big deal. And I guess the Earth is not really a border, though, is it? He's like me, just sort of hanging out in dead space. I don't know. It's just a different mindset.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't know. The George Clooney and gravity thing did freak me out. It's like, oh, my God, I can't even imagine. Like, great, I'm just, floating untethered. And it's just because I let go of a thing to save this other person or to do this other thing. And I'm just going to float out here until I run out of oxygen and die.
Did he burn? I can't remember if he burned into the atmosphere.
I can't remember either. It's been a while since I've seen that.
Because if you burn into the atmosphere, what's worse, floating forever until you just die, or you fall into Earth's atmosphere and burn up in that? What would you rather have?
I think I'd rather burn on reentry into Earth's atmosphere because it would get over quickly, as opposed to that feeling of just knowing.
Yeah.
That at some point my suit's going to run out of oxygen.
Even if there's some gnarly pain for a hot second, I still think I'd rather have that. Yeah.
Listen, BioCal, the movie's been out for long enough that you can't shout spoiler. Okay?
Spoilers? What?
Yeah, come on now.
That was like 2012, man. This was a long time ago.
Jeez. You pay attention to the Oscars? Maybe watch that movie. It's pretty damn good.
That movie is good. I like that movie a lot.
Yeah.
It's that other Mexican director.
Denis Villeneuve, right?
No. It was
it's the other guy.
It's the Mexican. He's the Mexican director that works a lot with Del Toro.
Pedro Almodovar.
He did the third Harry Potter movie. I cannot think of this guy's name. Did he also do Children of Men?
Who am I thinking? Alfonso Cuarón.
That's
it. Thank you. I was confusing with the...
brilliant director, Denis Villeneuve.
Well, I was thinking of Denis Villeneuve, but I was also thinking of... and now I can't remember his name because all I can think of is Cuarón.
You're thinking of the one that did the bear on the Leonardo DiCaprio bear attack one? They're also... he's a Mexican director also. I forgot his
name. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Let's see here. That's called the...
They're all buddies. The Revenant.
The Revenant, thank you.
I don't know why I remembered that. I never remember that.
I'm glad you did, because all I could think of was,
I remember things when other people... I remember things when other people don't.
You don't have to remember it, and it's easy because you're not struggling. It's the act of struggling to remember something that pushes it further out of
your brain. Isn't that weird?
Yes.
I think we just proved it. We did an example. Yeah, Birdman's the Revenant guy. Did Birdman.
Yeah, yeah.
Those three Mexican directors, man. Let's get them all together on one. Let's get one big. Del Toro writes it. Caron directs it. The other guy does something with a bear. I don't know. Whatever. Get it all done. Make that happen.
Yeah, because I mean, look, we got Spielberg and Lucas together, and we got Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah. And so King of the Crystal Skull.
For these team ups.
Oh, you're seeing that this week. Is it Thursday? You're
seeing it Thursday night. Yeah.
Are you excited? Like, where are you at on your head there?
I'm, you know, I'm excited. I feel like, all right, it's probably, I'm going in with some low expectations, so I'm probably going to like it a lot more than I'm expecting I'm going to like it, but I'm going in expecting that I'm going to be disappointed. So I'm hoping that I will, that having my expectations low like that. I love Phoebe Waller-Bridge. I mean, of course, we all love Harrison Ford. Toby Jones, you know, there's so many great people in this thing.
John Rhys Davies is back as a Solid.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's...
Antonio Banderas as Ronaldo.
Exactly. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing it, and I'm open-minded, expectations low. Let's bring it on, you know, and the little clip that Disney Plus has, they give you a little bit of a chase, maybe a minute, 2 minutes of like a tuk-tuk kind of vehicle chase. I mean, they're not tuk-tuks, but
sure.
Size-wise. Yeah. And that looks great. It looks like the kind of thing that you love in Indiana Jones movies. And as long as we don't get, I don't know, you know, we don't. Like, that was
Chewbacca. Yeah, but I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Yeah, as long as we don't get anything like that, I'm gonna be fine with this.
And I hope you. You know what? First thing you got to report on.
I trust him.
When you get back, you got to report on whether we got like a Tarzan moment or not.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You don't even have to tell us what it is.
We'll hear about it Friday morning during Playdate.
Yeah, you don't even have to tell us what it was. Just warn us all that there's a Tarzan moment.
Yes, exactly.
Mads Mikkelsen, I forgot he was in this. I love Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh, Mads Mikkelsen. Yeah. And I'm curious, is there going to be a stinger? There haven't been stingers in any of the other Indiana Jones films, but this feels like it could be opportunity for a stinger. Because didn't Logan had a stinger, right?
Logan had a stinger. No. Did it?
No. I can't remember
if they did any of that on that Fox side. Did they ever do any of that?
Right, because it was... Well, they do on the... Do on the X-Men movies.
That's true.
Because that's where you got like, ooh, Mr. Sinister's coming. But guess what? He didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't get him.
We've had a lot of teases for Mr. Sinister. And I, you know, we really don't ever get him. We get the tease of Mr. Sinister.
It's up. The reviews are up a little higher than when they first had the first few. It's up to 65. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's better.
Yeah, no extras during or after the credits for Logan. Nope.
Okay. Crystal Skull. So if this is a 65, Crystal Skull was at 77. So it's got to climb some to beat Crystal Skull. I don't know how Crystal Skull is 77. How is that possible? What were the critics smoking that week? I don't get it. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, let us know on Friday.
Fast X, extra scene during the credits. Super Mario movie, extra scenes during and after the credits. Spider-Man, Cross Spider-Verse, extra animation shown during the credits.
Yeah. Well, just animation. They didn't do any story.
It was not. Oppenheimer, currently no after credits information.
No.
I love Media Stinger. It is a great site, MediaStinger.com, especially the app.
My favorite tweet of the week was this... So apparently in Malibu, suddenly a big giant pink Barbie house appeared out of nowhere. Yeah. They unveiled it. And somebody wrote the Oppenheimer, because it opens the same weekend as Oppenheimer.
Oh, does it?
And they said Oppenheimer, the producers of Oppenheimer have an opportunity to do the funniest thing in the history of films if they wanted to blow that thing up as a counter, you know. If you're going to have the Malibu house, have Oppenheimer blow it up with a small nuke.
A little mushroom cloud.
Yeah, that's what you should do. Yeah. All right, that's it for us. Thank you all for listening. We're going to get out of here. Don't forget, we need your help at patreon.com/TMS. Yeah. Brian mentioned a play date. We'll be doing that on Friday, so watch for that. Well, we still have plenty
of time. Not Saturday, Friday, because I'm going to Denver's equivalent of Comic-Con, which is called Fan Expo now.
Ours is also Fan X, well, just X, I guess.
Yeah, just Fan X, which
boring.
Is yeah.
Boring.
I think it's probably same company.
It feels boring, doesn't it?
The name. It does, Fan X. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, San Diego. Jerks. Anyway, but that'll be fun, so tune in for that. Regular shows the rest of the week and other cool stuff happening that we'll talk about tomorrow. All right, that's it. Let's get out of here. Do you have a song to play here at the end of the show?
I have a song, Scott, and I want to preface this by saying the title does the title of the song does contain a controversial word that we don't all like, you know, don't all like saying the word rape. But bear with me, trust me, this is great. Kai from Finland wrote in and said, on TMS 2454, Brian and Scott discussed the Evolution Control Committee, which reminded me that during the early 2000s, I was really, really into them, especially one ECC song that I kept in constant rotation, and it was called Rocked by Rape. Quote from Wikipedia, the ECC wrote Rocked by Rape, consisting of samples of Dan Rather's deadpan delivery describing various atrocities over looped riffs from AC/DC's Back in Black.
Oh, wow.
This work brought legal threats against the ECC by CBS, but by 2003, CBS appeared to have dropped the issue. Rocked by Rape was nationally broadcast on NPR's All Things Considered in 2000, and it was even played at a roast for Dan Rather, which was later broadcast on C-SPAN. The song still seems very hard to find on legit streaming services, but the cover master shouldn't have any trouble. I don't have a special date or special occasion other than nostalgic reasons for my request. Thanks again for reminding me of the ECC, Kai from Finland.
Nice. Never heard of this, but I'm curious.
Yes, this is great. I mean, it is it's just listening to all these clips of Dan Rather saying, you know, horrible fire, earthquake, da da da, just one thing right after another. This is great. All right, so this is the Evolution Control Committee from their album Plagiarism Nation, volume 2.0, featuring the lovely voice of Dan Rather and a song called Rocked by Rape.
This is the CBS Evening News with Dan Rather reporting from CBS News headquarters in New York.
Good evening. Danger. War. Killer. Fraud. CIA. Mayhem. Crisis. Horrible. Inflation. Military threat. Flaming debris. Fatal heart attack. Stress injuries, prison disaster, economic collapse, dangerous radiation, a tide of violence and human misery, a liar and an unremorseful killer, communist international smuggling pipeline, starving victims and how they die, chemical weapons, carpet bomb deaths, tough FBI, kill and injure children, police conspiracy, negative attacks, discipline, sex and drinking binges, dying of a heart attack, dying of breast cancer, dying of a Japanese nuclear bomb, mountains of credit card debt, the mountain of cocaine, tons of cocaine, atomic bomb radiation experiments, unwitting test subjects, dangerous radiation, marijuana abuse, hooked on drugs, time for us to bug out. Rocked, rocked, rocked by rape, rocked, rocked, rocked by rape, rocked, rocked, rocked by rape, sex, drugs, and rocked by rape, Nazi war criminals, cancer, garbage, murder, caution, terrorist, castigation, police conspiracy, dramatic urban torture, drunk driving, hostage siege, government shutdown, collapses, desperation, despair, deep into debt, criminal, persecuted, semi-automatic handgun, explosive gunman killed a tourist, funeral victims, racist, massive lawsuit, hostage, ethnic war, cancer death rate fleeing for their lives, CIA narcotics operations, hungry, homeless, frustrated terrorists, spoiled, unsanitary, hard-hitting losers, brutal, bizarre, critical bombing, the gang's rule, criminal anti-government love triangle, deeper and deeper into damage, even death. Anti-drug DEA, worldwide ban. Time for us to bug out. Rocked, rocked, rocked by rape. Rocked, rocked, rocked by rape. Rocked, rocked, rocked by rape. Sex, drugs, and rocked by rape. Disgruntled conspirator attack, killed. U.S. warplane went down in flames, crash, gun down, shooting death, blood drops, murderer. Desperate tragedy, isn't he dead? Death penalty, ransom note, forbidding, notorious, overwhelming, communist, urban punishment, low ethics, extortion and murder. A plane crash set an entire neighborhood on fire. International smuggling pipeline, make it faster, better, cheaper. Health risk, criminal, murdering a man,
tough diplomatic hell on Earth. Magnetic radiation, fraudulent assassins, mysterious murder, chemical terrorism, military targets, fatal crash, danger, the freak accident, no known survivors, wild and woolly semi-automatic truck bomb, emergency anti-fatal shooting rampage, notorious negative police brutality, fear, the hidden Nazis next door, Marxist rebels, serious murderer, accidents, problems, punitive damages, like that negative, heart-wrenching controversy. Time for us to bug out. Rock. Rock. Rock by rape. Rock. Rock. Rock by rape. Rock. Rock. Rock by rape. Sex, drugs, and rock by rape. Bug out, bug out, bug out, bug, bug. And that's part of our world tonight. For the CBS Evening News, Dan Rather reporting. Good night, and have a great weekend.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Like a taco?
Like a taco.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.